You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Tuesday. At least I think it's Tuesday, last time I checked. Hey, you know what I'm hearing? Well, let's tell you who's going to be on the show today. I have Mr. Rob Alvarez coming in about 6:15. He's with the Stonehouse Group, getting ready for El Tour de Tucson next weekend. It's already here, pretty much, here in about 10, 12 days. So looking forward to that. And at 6:30, we're going to have David Cosgrove, the Pima soccer men's coach, defending national champions. He'll be on at 6:30. They just got a bid to try to repeat as champions. We all know how difficult that is. Once you win, it's hard to stay there. I have a new voice on my show, Tom. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Well, thanks for having me as a part of it. I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
Yes, it's not good when the guy who helps you with the show has a better voice than you. That's like asking Brad Pitt to show up in the room and, you know, thinking I'm the best looking guy, and then Brad Pitt shows up.
Fortunately for you, this is radio. No one can see my dashing good looks.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, when I use YouTube, they can see mine. and here I am with you, Tom, so that'll tell you everything.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you. Yes, I'm looking forward to this.
We're gonna shoot a lot of topics at each other, and we'll talk friendly here and whatever, and then I have guests, as you know, and then we'll kind of talk again in the second hour. But let me ask you something. Do you know what they're talking about when they talk about load management?
As an electricity term, yes, but outside of that, no.
Oh, good, good, good. So I wasn't the only one. It might be our age. Anybody under 40 probably knows this, but load management is, you know, when I guess it was explained to me earlier, like Kawhi Leonard, he's playing a little hurt or not hurt or whatever, so they decide to play him some days and some days not, giving the load off, you know, kind of. I thought load was like laundry.
Yeah, well, yeah,
you know, that's
what
I was using it. You know, how much load should I put? An extra large load or a normal load?
Exactly.
Should I use cold or hot?
I guess we need to know if Kawhi's socks need to be washed in hot or extra hot. But
yes,
it's. I mean, it's not a new concept, but these buzzwords, I can't keep up.
Yeah, yeah, it's like WTF, all these LOLs. What the heck are they talking about? I'm glad I have Ray here with me because I wouldn't know what the heck's going on with the millennials today.
Yeah, well, fortunately, I'm not a millennial either, so I'm right there.
Yeah, I know. We'll get along. At least you'll know who, like, you know, what the Dallas TV show was. Do you know that?
Oh, of course I do.
Oh, good, good. You know, you're going to scare me there. What are you talking about, Steve? So that's good. Anybody want to call in load management? It's like what's his name? Allen Iverson talking about practice. Practice?
We're not talking about a game here.
We're not talking about a game here. We're talking about load management? What?
Or you could go playoffs?
Playoffs? Yeah, playoffs. Hey, well, that's right. That's Jim Morrow, right?
Yep.
Or Morrow's. So you know what, too? You know who doesn't have to worry about load management right now? Devonair Dutrieve, because he hasn't played yet. But I guess today Sean Miller talked about him maybe, possibly, kind of, possibly playing Thursday. Guess when we'll know? We'll know Thursday. Because right now, it's still up in the air. He says, as of today, he's still suspended, but he's going to be more of a game-time situation. So Devonair will add some juice to Arizona's fire, if you let me mix metaphors, which I do often.
You know what, though? I mean, these young kids, it doesn't matter. They got energy. They can take it.
Good. We're going to think a lot alike. I'm not sure that's good for radio, but I agree. Everyone says, oh, they played this number of games in a week. They must be tired. No, they're 19 years old. They could play forever.
When I was a kid, it didn't matter what sport it was. If I wanted to play it, I found the energy to play it. You know?
Right. Exactly. And you could say, okay, next. In my case, I played, we lost, we sat. We lost, we sat. But, you know, in fact, I was going to watch. I saw something earlier. Maybe it was on ESPN or whatever it was. And I'll ask Dave Cosgrove this. You know, back in the day when we played and you got hurt, you know what you did? According to load management,
you rubbed some dirt on
you. Exactly. Tom, you're stealing my lines. What's up with this? We're kind of like twins.
Don't worry. I will find a way to subvert that process at some point.
But I'm sure I had enough dirt on my knees to last a lifetime. Steve, get out there and put some dirt on it and go out and play.
If you didn't get your uniform dirty, you didn't play.
You didn't play, yeah, but Mom was a little upset that you did.
That's all right, though.
Yeah, then she had to worry. Guess what she had to worry about when that happened?
Load management.
Where'd you find this guy? I like him already. Hire him. Hire him. Get rid of everybody else. I make you the call here. Tell Mr. Bustos we got him. He's in. He just can't replace me. So we're going to have Mr. Rob Alvarez here at 15 after, and then David Cosgrove after that. And then we'll probably talk gibberish, Tom and I. God, it feels like I'm looking in the mirror. Holy moly, this might be fun until it becomes boring. And people say, you know, you're not that funny, Steve. You're not that funny. So Debonair is going to maybe be back. Arizona, what, rose two slots in the AP poll. I'm sure people in Tucson are ecstatic about that, not realizing it means nothing right now. What else is going on? Football, 27-point underdog. I thought it was like 24 a couple days ago. Now it's 27. Good luck with that. Wildcats, as you head to Oregon, could be a bad, bad time. Do we have a caller? We have a Craig caller? Poncho, are you on the line?
We do have Poncho. Let me get him here for you.
Okay, thank you. Poncho, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So what did you say that you've never heard me happier?
I seriously, from the very beginning. Well, you have to consider that you started when? Last November?
Yes.
And the football team was losing, and then the basketball team had all the drama. And you had a few moments with the softball team, right? And then the women's basketball team, and then the dog days of summer hit, right? And now it's football season, was circling the drain, and it was Steve Rivera, Eye on the Ball. I'm not a sports fan. I have no dog in the race, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But Sunday night.
Are you stalking
me? You were like a kid on Christmas morning Sunday night.
Oh,
you've
yes.
Been like a kid on Christmas morning now because Arizona has a basketball team that's fun to watch.
Yeah, no question. Yes, you are correct. I understand you were in town. Did you went to the game?
Absolutely.
Did you feel, I don't think you go to all the games, but did you feel the energy in the room?
Yeah, I did. It was, you know, I hadn't been to McHale since the UNLV game 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I was really excited to be there. I was very pleased that I was able to get a ticket from a friend of mine. And that in the second half, I did excuse myself to use the restroom. And when I came back in, Illinois did something and got close again. And I heard the cheers before I saw what happened. And it was the first time I noticed how much orange there was in the building. And that's not a knock on Arizona. There's obviously a lot of retirees that live in Tucson. And their Illini, you know, showed up. And so did they. But that was pretty exciting. There was a lot of energy in that building, for sure. And gosh, I couldn't believe how easily Nico Mannion made it look in the first 5 minutes of the game, dribbling around wherever he wanted and then pulling up and shooting from wherever he wanted. He looked like he was just playing the way he's always played.
Right. No, he had a lot of fun. Everybody had a lot of fun, including the people in the stands. But hey, we got to take a break, Poncho. Thanks.
Understood. I got to get to the gym. I just wanted to say it's nice to hear you and see you smiling, for sure.
Gym? What's a gym? Holy crap. Okay. I'm a sports writer. I have no idea.
That's the next step. That's the next step for you, Mr. Rivera. Get to the gym.
Yes, okay. Thank you, man. Thanks for calling in. Hey, let's take our quick break and then come back here on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And let's go to the phone lines right now and talk to Mr. Rob Alvarez. How are you?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Fine, thank you. You getting ready for the L Tour? We're only, what, 10 days away, 11 days away?
That's right. Yep, getting geared up and excited for it.
Rob, you are one of the past first-place finishers just a couple years ago. How did it feel? I know that you had a great team, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But how did that feel crossing the line first?
I mean, honestly, like a dream come true. As you know, cheesy as that may sound, but I mean, honestly, being a Tucson native just kind of, you know, hearing about the event since I was a young kid. I mean, it was a dream come true, and I've tried for so many years, and it's just like I just miss it kind of at the end. I mean, I've been like fourth, fifth, sixth in the top 10 a lot, but just to finally do it, I mean, it was just, it was an amazing day. So really awesome. And just, you know, in front of friends and family and colleagues and all that stuff, it's just amazing, and still is. So
you're writing for, obviously, your group, Stonehouse, but you're also writing for Beads of Courage. And let me tell you something. You guys, the only, and this is a ride. It's not a race, we like to say it, El Tour, because it is one for charity, and it's a ride. But you guys are loaded. You have David Solomon, who's won this before. You have yourself, who's won it. Beads of Courage, Eric Mercott, Travis McCabe, Josh Berry. Man, short of the Olympic team, you guys are pretty stoked.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool, and it's awesome, and it's weird because, I mean, you know, quote unquote, it's not a race, but it's a race for sure. I mean, anytime you have like a number on your back, and there's timed, you know, you're timed and all that sort of thing, but it's just such a, you know, such a huge event. And just such a special thing, especially, again, being a Tucson kid, you know, growing up. And just, it's such a gigantic event because, I mean, we go to races and there's, you know, we're racing 20 people. Where in this, it's like there's 8,000 people, and many of which are, you know, doing it at different levels and just doing it to finish, or just do it with their friends and stuff. But there's definitely a group that's, you know, all in going for it. So it's just challenging, and it's fun. But afterwards, I mean, it's a lot of, just positive, you know, energy and encouragement and stuff like that. And like you said, it's for a great cause. And this year we're doing it for Beads of Courage, which is a really good and, you know, wonderful organization. So we're very excited to do that.
Right. No question. And that's at the bottom, at the end of the day, the bottom line, yada, yada, it's for the charities. And you have a great one in Beads of Courage.
Yeah. I mean, we feel, you know, really fortunate. And I mean, I have children myself, so it's like, God forbid, you know, anyone of them got sick, but we're really passionate to support that. And Beads of Courage, you know, I don't know if you're aware, but they support, you know, teens and children that are dealing with cancer and things like that. So we carry a bead for them, and it's a sense of, you know, encouragement and things like that. So it's just a really good thing. I mean, and that's our future, and that's our generation. And again, I have children myself, so I'm very passionate about that. And any way we can help and just, you know, keep, you know, just kind of promoting just a positive message. And as we all know, kind of a crazy world at times, and we're all about it, you know. And it's just, and also just that, you know, few hours on the bike kind of takes your mind off of work and everything else, and you can just kind of be in your own little world for a minute. So that's nice too.
Are you currently there? I know they're having some function at the Metal Arts Village. Are you there now and part of that?
I'm not. So that's happening today from 5 to 8. So I'm probably going to head over there after this, but, so they're going to be, you know, kind of promoting the beads and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Let me ask you, because you brought it up at least a couple of times, you're a Tucsonan, you grew up here. At what point in your kid years, if maybe a little later, did you have your eye on El Tour, one, to ride in it and to do well in it and maybe to possibly win it?
Well, I'd say when I first kind of started knowing about cycling or El Tour de Tucson, I think I was in third grade, and my third grade buddy, his whole family did El Tour every year. And I remember going into their garage, and they had, you know, tons of bikes. And I just remember the smell of, you know, the fresh rubber and, you know, the cycling gear and all this. And I was like, whoa, you know, what is this? This is really cool. Mm-hmm. And then all they would talk about from, you know, about August up to November was El Tour, and they would train every day after school. And a couple of times I would go with them, and I helped, you know, run support for them that year. And again, I was, you know, third or fourth grade, so just a little kid. And I saw all these riders and all this. So I was just fascinated with it. And then it was when I was about 13, I was able to get my first road bike, and I just started riding and training. And I did my first El Tour at 14. And I think it took me about 7.5 hours or something. And then, so from there, I was just, you know, really hooked and started bike racing and all that sort of stuff. And then got into high school Got busy, came back to the sport seriously at 21. And that's when really my racing career, you know, kind of took off. And I did a lot of kind of higher level amateur races, professional races. And then I would do El Tour. And my best ever, you know, back then from about 2001 to 2010 was a fourth place, which was 2006. And then every year I just been trying and trying. And then finally 2017, you know, I'd been training really well, feeling really good. We had an awesome team. It was a beautiful day and it just all happened and finally happened. So it's just all that, just perseverance, you know, finally came through. So,
right. So you said 13 or third grades, you eight or nine, that had to be the mid 80s.
Yeah. When I just first knew about El Tour and even cycling, you know, and I remember, I was just fascinated with it, but you know, my family didn't have a ton of money, you know, to buy me a road bike, but I just always had my eye on cycling, was very fascinated with the sport. And I saw movies like American Flyer and Breaking Away and things like that. And I remember I bought my first road bike. It was $100 and I was 13 years old. And I remember I thought I was the guy from American Flyers, just, you know, riding all around Tucson and Reed Park and, you know, all this stuff. And I just, you know, never knew where it would take me, but it's just, you know, it's awesome to still be riding, you know, today at 43 and still competing and having a good time.
Right, right. So you're 43 and the event is 37. So yeah, right in the wheelhouse. Let me say that it's funny because I had never ever heard this. You know, I usually talk to people who talk about, oh, the smell of the grass and the spring and baseball's going to start. You're talking about rubber and sweaty clothes. And that's funny, but it's, I get the image. I totally get the image.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And just even like the cycling gloves, I remember I put on the cycling gloves and I was just like, I don't know. It was just a really cool thing that I thought was really cool. And I think just like that sense of freedom, how I could get on my bike and I could ride out in the desert and just, you know, get lost. And I just, you know, that sense of freedom and independence and all that stuff. And I still feel it to this day. You know, I just love getting on my bike and riding and just that little bit of just kind of getting away from it all. It's just something I've always taken to, and I played, you know, different sports like football, soccer, all that stuff, which I was okay. But I think cycling was just that one sport I found where I was decent at it. So, and I still, again, just love it to this day.
So how many events or rides do you do in a year?
As far as races go?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you call it races. I'll call it a ride.
Right. I would say, I mean, at this point, probably 25.
That's a lot. So that's one every other week.
Yeah. About that. Yep.
Yeah. So,
So
where does this one fit among those 25?
Well, so, you know, really like the Arizona racing season, it's with Arizona Cycling. That season starts mid-January, and they have, you know, various races each weekend, criteriums, road races, stage races, all that stuff. And that's really from like mid-January to end of April. So that's really kind of the bulk of the season. And then the summer for me has been pretty light. And usually, you know, we're traveling and doing that sort of thing. And there's not a lot of races in Arizona. And so I usually kind of take that as a, just kind of a relaxation. I'm still riding and stuff, but kind of like my off season. And then August start gearing up. And with always kind of my focus on El Tour, and there's even been years and I'm like, oh, I'm going to take this year off and not do El Tour, but come August 1st, I'm like, I'm doing El Tour, you know, and so then we start, you know, training then. And then there's a lot of races like the state championship hill climb is around then and a few other races. And then I do a ton of races down in Mexico because that's actually their racing season in Sonora, Mexico. So I do like five races from August to just last weekend. I did a race in Guaymas and we had a great race down there, but they have like a full on racing season down there, and it's great just because the weather's great and it's, you know, great events and stuff like that, and it's a perfect tune-up you know, for El Tour. And and then usually El Tour is kind of like the end of it, and then, you know, take a little break in December and then start over again.
Yeah, no question. Oh, we have about 2 minutes left here in the segment. You're gunning for it again, I assume, even though there's a bunch of you guys have a bunch of studs on the roster you have.
Do, and it's, you know, I think a lot of us are in really good shape. And I think everyone's just planning to fun, but also make it hard and you know, make it fast and all that stuff. So it really just comes down to the end. I mean, I think we're all going to go for it. And you know, as long as one of the team wins, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Right.
And so it just really, I mean, so many things could happen and, you know, you never know. So I've learned never to get cocky when it comes to cycling, but we're just going to, you know, give it our best. And I think everyone, especially on our team, I don't know as far as Eric and some of the other guys, but I'm sure they're always in good shape.
Right.
You know, our team is in really good shape, so it should be good.
It's never to get cocky in life in general. Now we have exactly. 1 minute left. Real quick, give me 30 seconds. Best part of the ride, because it's changed the route a little bit, but it's a nice, smooth ride. What's the best part for you?
For me, I love backside of Crystal Hill. I mean, that's like, I do that like once a week, so that's my go-to. So that's a little bit earlier in the ride. I think that's like 30 miles in. But my go-to is the east side of Tucson, so I mean, that's like
Yeah. You're breaking up a little bit. Hey, Rob. Thanks for calling in. Good luck. We'll see you. I might see you tonight. I might go by, but we'll see you on ride day. Thanks a bunch. That was Rob Alvarez of Beads of Courage and Stonehouse Group. So let's take a quick break and come back. Hey, welcome to I End Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And now on the phone we have David Cosgrove of Pimas Men's Soccer. Dave, good to hear from you.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Hey, I was a little bit surprised. One, that because I was surprised in as much as your season had been over for a little bit already. And then I see today you get picked to get into the tournament, and I saw the kids, how thrilled they were. So you apparently must have been continuing to practice.
Yeah, so, you know, it's the first year they've gone to an at-large bid system for the Junior College National Tournament. So they have 8 district winners, and then 4 teams basically had to send in their resume. A lot of teams sent in their resume, and they selected 4 teams for an at-large bid. So when we were knocked out of our district play in the regional final in penalty kicks, there always stayed a chance that we could qualify as an at-large. So we kind of trained a little bit, but you know, a lot of things had to go our way for us to get in. We took some time off just to recover, and then we started training last week with the hope that, you know, today we would get good news.
Yeah, and you're, what seed are you?
We're a 9 seed, which is actually the lowest seed we've been since we've been making a tournament, but we're just happy to be there, so a 9 seed's great for us.
Sure, no question, but I think we talked about this not after last year when you won it, but after the beginning of this year, where it's always difficult. It's difficult to get there, but it's even more difficult to stay there. Did you find that to be the case?
Well, a little bit, but, you know, our conference is so tough. You know, we currently have 4 teams ranked in the top 20, and 2 of them will be at the national tournament. And that's the way it is year in and year out. So, you know, we could have a fantastic year, be a top 5 team, and still be the second best team in our conference. And that's happened on quite a few occasions. So, you know, for us, it was just about, you know, trying to get through the conference schedule, you know, win as many games as we possibly could, make our resume look as good as possible. And then, of course, peak in the playoffs, which we actually had a pretty good playoff run. Unfortunately, you know, we lost in penalty kicks on the 7th kicker. Otherwise, you know, we would have made it to the district final and our seed would be a little bit higher.
Right. But who's the other team that made the tournament?
Arizona Western, for the first time in their school's history, actually won our region. They beat us at home on the 7th kicker. And then they went to a very difficult Salt Lake team and won on the road there. So I think they're the 7th seed, and I know it's the first time they've ever made the tournament. And they're playing really, really good soccer right now. So they're going to be a difficult matchup for anybody at the national level.
And didn't they finish 4th in the league?
Yeah, I mean, that just shows you how difficult our league is. You know, we actually played them, I want to say we played them a week and a half before we played them in the regional tournament. We hosted them at home and won 2-0. They finished 4th, you know, 5 points behind what ended up being a 3-way tie between us, Phoenix College, and Yavapai. So we all want to share the title with Arizona Western being 4. But Arizona Western knocked off Phoenix, who was the top seed. We knocked off Yavapai, who was the number 2 seed, and then we played them as the 4 seed, and we were the 3 seed in the region final.
Yeah, in fact, when I saw that happen and you beat Yavapai, and I saw that the 4 had beaten the 1, I'm thinking, the magic's going to continue. You'll beat these guys, and then you'll move on and advance. Then I saw that you lost. I'm thinking, how did that happen?
Yeah, you know, again, you know, we've been so good in the late October, early November that I think we're kind of spoiled, and everybody just assumes,
yeah,
you know, especially if we play at home, that things are going to go our way, which, you know, a lot of people have done a lot of hard work to make those assumptions reality. But, you know, full credit to Arizona Western. They came in, you know, they held us scoreless at home for 110 minutes. They made some big plays. They had a goalkeeper who was and has been playing very well. So, you know, they just got the job done. They made one more play than we did. And, you know, it was a little shocking, I think, for us and for some people to lose at home in the regional final. I mean, that's actually the 6th year in a row we've hosted the region final. And, you know, up until then we had, you know, I think been 4-1. So it was a shock to everybody, but, you know, really, I think the credit goes to Arizona Western. They did what they needed to do to advance.
Does this team, you obviously had a great run last year, a magical year, and you eventually win the title. Does this team have any of that same magic in it and maybe the same components?
I think we do, you know, and I think more than anything else, it's a coaching issue in the sense that we haven't played as well as we should given the talent we have. It's not that the kids, you know, aren't working hard or aren't being respectful and trying to learn. I just haven't been able to push the right buttons in the biggest moments yet this year. So I think, you know, a dangerous word, but I think our potential is very high. We just have to make sure we put it together starting next Monday, or it's going to be a very short trip to Texas.
Yeah, remind me, it's a pool play and then you advance. How is it this year?
Same thing. So it's a pool play. So we get 2 games. The winner of those 3 teams will advance to the national semifinals. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough the last, 3 of the last 4 years to actually not only get to the national tournament, but to make it to the final 4.
And how many of the kids are there from last year?
We have about 12 kids who return, and we have, 6 starters back. So, you know, we have a lot of experience, a lot of quality. And again, you know, I think myself and the coaching staff, we just have to make sure we push the right buttons here in the next week as we get ready for the tournament. And then, of course, obviously, we need to make sure the kids are playing at the top level starting next Monday.
Right, no question. And I'm sure the league, like you say, probably prepares you the most for it because you play high competition, so you know what to expect. Let me ask you a naive question because I should know this. Is your son still playing for you, or has he moved on?
No, he's still there. You know, he typically starts for us this year. He's had a pretty consistent year. He's stayed healthy, so that's been good. Matter of fact, most of the team has stayed healthy. We're about as healthy as we've been all year. So that's a really good sign. And, of course, that's a real credit to our athletic training staff, which is, you know, one of the best in the country. And, you know, we feel confident. You know, there's no doubt that our conference is the best in the country. And, you know, Arizona Western and Pima College had the number 1 and number 2 strength of schedules. So we've been tested. I think it just comes down to, you know, again, us going out and playing at our top level. And if we do that, I think we'll be fine against anybody in the country.
Not that I want to bring a bad memory up, but I think it's a good memory in a sense of what's happened. I don't even remember if it's 2 years ago or 3 years ago when you weren't allowed to advance. But sometimes a higher power or whatever destiny you have gets you to this moment. Do you ever look back on that and think, you know, maybe it happened for a reason and this is the result?
You know, yeah. So it was 2016 and we had won the region, and you know, there was an incident after the game, which, you know, basically our players didn't do a whole lot, but we were punished. I'll be honest, I don't look at that as a positive moment. It's one of those things that, you know, when I look back at my career at Pima, and in particular for that particular group of kids, you know, it was just a really, really hard life lesson for us. You know, it's obviously one of the black moments in, you know, Pima College soccer history, but with that, yeah, I will say that, you know, the kids we brought in, the kids that came back in 2017 have responded really well. And, you know, we were just really fortunate. We've had so many good kids and so many good teams lately. You know, we've had, you know, a decade of dominance in our conference. And quite honestly, over the last decade, we've been the number two program in the country. So we're just very fortunate, and that was just unfortunately a very black moment in our history.
Yeah, I don't know. You went through it, so you know exactly what you did. But sometimes you have to go through that, and it was not even your fault, that pain to really enjoy the great moments.
Yeah, it was painful for sure, and for the kids. But you know, again, you know, I think it's typical of sports, which you know, reflect life, that sometimes it isn't fair, and sometimes you have to deal with you know real adverse situations, and you often find out the best about people in the worst situations.
Right.
And you know, and the support from the school, support for the program, support from our alumni, and the way the kids who came back and have been at Pima since then, you know, they've carried themselves in unbelievable manner, both on and off the field. And, of course, you know, the excellence, you know, making the 2017 national semifinals, then making the semifinals and actually winning it last year. It's just a reflection of the school and the program and the kids we have.
You know, I've known you for a long time. Obviously coached my kids for a number of years. Do you, and you've been in, what, 30-plus years now?
Yeah, I think we're getting pretty close. I think it's about 28 years.
28 years. So how much, and I know this is what you do for a living, but how much joy do you still love in doing this?
I always say it. I got the best job in Tucson. You know, I get to go out and coach soccer with highly motivated kids, very talented kids. I've been able to surround myself with great coaches. The support staff and the administration at Pima is unbelievably supportive. Not to mention, I mean, you know, what we're doing at Pima College in terms of the education is changing people's lives, you know. So, you know, I've been there long enough now that I actually really get to reap the benefits of it, where, you know, kids from 10, 15, 20 years ago are coming back extremely successful in life, extremely successful as, you know, family members. And when they say, hey, those 2 years at Pima were some of the best years I ever had, I mean, that's really the reward. And it's why I think most people coach. And I'm just very fortunate. You know, I get up every day excited to do what I do.
Yeah, no question. And you do a good job with it, too. I'm pretty proud of you and obviously of the guys you coach and throughout the years, because I know a lot of them. So good luck to you soon. And we'll hear back from you and see what happens.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot. We're in, so we're very excited, and we'll see what we can do.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Steve.
Yes, take care. Thank you, and good luck. That was Dave Cosgrove, men's soccer coach at Pima. They're at it again, trying to get another national title. Unbelievable. Great accomplishment. We'll come back here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Good to talk to Cosgrove. He coached my kids for a number of years. At a high level, obviously. Tom, so how long have you been in Tucson, Tom?
I think I've been in Tucson, four years, actually.
What do you notice the most about Tucson? What's like the, maybe a couple of things that strike you the most?
Well, I grew up in the Northeast, so the first thing that I notice is winter or the lack thereof.
Yes, it's we're in heaven.
Yeah, this is amazing. I love this time of year. If there's an argument to move to Arizona, this is it.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah. Shh, don't say it too loud. Don't tell them. Don't shh.
Are we letting the cat out of the bag?
Yes. No, people who know, because that's why they're called snowbirds. And people from Visit Tucson would say, shut up, Steve.
believe me, you are not going to kill the business.
No. This is a perfect time. So that's one. What's number two?
Moving here, a couple of things that surprised me were the fact that Tucson is, 2,600 feet in the air, and that it's cooler than Phoenix. I did not know that about Tucson.
Mm-hmm. Like 5, 6, 7 degrees, yes.
Yeah, and I didn't really, just the mountains and the terrain and everything, I didn't realize that much about it. The monsoon seasons, I didn't know that. So those
we
are
didn't
things
get one
all
last
struck
year.
Me.
We didn't get one just that past year.
Well, we did for what? A couple days.
It's like our winter. Our winter was last about a week.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, okay. What about the food? You like the food?
I do. So I had to go around, and that's one of the things I do. I've moved around enough to know that when you get to town, you got to try the delicacies.
Uh-huh.
So I went ahead and attacked the Sonoran Hot Dog Challenge pretty much out of the gate. and I ask around. I ask people, hey, what's your favorite spot? Where do you want to go? Where should I go?
Right.
And I will try almost anything.
Hey, Ray, this guy's voice is killing me, man. He's got the radio voice. I'm going to be Wally Pipped here in about a year.
Yeah, you know, and hopefully everybody knows who Wally Pipp is.
No, they don't. Well, no. My audience does. Anything below, like, raise age, say, Wally Pipp, who's that guy?
You need to know who Wally Pipp is.
Yes, he's the guy who replaced Lou Gehrig. I think is it right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yes. I want to get the reference right. If you don't know, Google it. Google it. So no, that's cool. That's good. So I'm not a Sonoran dog guy. So I grew up in Santa Fe, New Mexico, so my Mexican food is totally different.
Okay.
And I miss that the most. So have you eaten? I should give a shameless plug. So I will. Poco and Mom's on the Far East Side?
No.
Okay.
I don't know the Far East Side very well.
Oh, you have, Ray? Yeah, it's good. It's good. So I'll have to take you one of these days. Just continue to make me look good on the radio, yada, yada, and I'll get you lunch.
I will do everything I can.
Yes.
Okay. For a free lunch.
Yeah. You can argue with me, too, from time to time. I enjoy those things, too.
Oh, that's coming.
I'm
don't
not
worry.
Married to you, so it doesn't really matter.
When the show's over, the show's over. We leave it in the booth.
That's right. That's right. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And like I told you earlier, most of my analogies involve relationships. So, you know, just be aware.
I'm ready.
Okay, cool. So you don't follow NBA, college basketball? Have you noticed anything about the college landscapes being here 3 years?
Well, I mean, you know, U of A obviously dominates the college landscape. I've noticed the rivalry between U of A and ASU. I had the good fortune the last 2 years to be a part of covering ASU's college hockey in their NCAA Division I program team, so that's been fun. I've been to basketball and football games here. I love supporting the Wildcat teams, and I enjoy it. I love the flavor of a college town.
Yes.
I enjoy it. So I've had a blast.
Only game in town means a lot, which you'll understand, too, if you haven't noticed already, is it's a very fickle town. And if you win, they love you. If you don't win, they don't even know who you are.
I am slightly surprised, though. I thought basketball is king here.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's just because it was the desert. I expected football to be above basketball, but coming here, that is certainly not the case.
That's not the case. It's not the case at Albuquerque because the football team is horrible. Basketball team's dumb. It has been historically good. Basketball in New Mexico State, same way. Here, there's certain pockets, Vegas, UNLV back in the day. You know, there's certain areas.
Well, I guess, and it really depends on how entrenched the school is. Obviously, right. U of A has been here for a very long time, and they've got a fine tradition for a lot of sports and athletics. So that makes a difference in the fabric of a community, I think.
Yeah, so you've been here in just 3 years. You're from the Northeast. So do you believe in East Coast bias?
Oh, yeah, I think that's a definite thing. And having lived in different parts of the country, and for those who might not know, my background is in pro sports, but a lot of hockey, some mm-hmm. baseball, some soccer. But even when I was working for teams on the West Coast, there is a huge East Coast bias, even in the National Hockey League. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. So West Coast obviously has to fight a little harder to get that attention.
It is, and most of, quite frankly, the East Coast is in bed by the time a lot of the teams on the West Coast are playing, so they just don't pay attention.
Right. I think people in Tucson are really envious of that, or they're aware of that, and I'm thinking, don't worry about that. If they know, they know, and sometimes when you play so poorly, you don't want them to know.
A lot of times I find the best way to get them to notice you is to show up in the championship game
right.
and win that.
Right.
Yes.
Just win, baby. People pay attention when you win.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah, no question. And we'll see what happens with the basketball team now. The football team, to me, the season was over maybe a week or two or three ago. So we'll see. It's been, what, four straight losses?
Yeah.
They're not, I don't see them winning another game. But that's just me.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get to the Utah game if I can, because I really want to see one this year. I haven't yet. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm going to go and enjoy myself. How's that?
If you're anything like the fans that go to the football game, you'll be expected to leave at halftime.
You know, I stick around for as long as I can. The first game I went to here was the 5-overtime game against Washington. That was on my birthday when I got here in 2016. Uh-huh. One of the best football games I've ever seen. I really enjoyed it.
Was that when they didn't go for two?
Yes.
How many overtimes did you say?
Five.
I don't remember.
At least
that.
In my memory, it was four or five, but I'm pretty sure it was five.
Oh, I remember the onside kicks. I remember some things like that. But I mean, definitely remember Rich Rod not going for two and me asking the question and him shutting me down in a heartbeat. And that's just the way my world is. People shutting me down in a heartbeat.
Well, I'm not going to do that to you. But I'm going to argue with you in the meantime.
But you have the capacity to with the buttons back there.
Do not argue with the guy who has his fingers on the button.
That's what they say about people with ink. Do not argue with a guy who has barrels of ink to publish with.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so that's cool. So Thursday, Arizona basketball starts Thursday against Santa Clara. Who do they play Thursday? Santa Clara, I think.
I think it is Santa Clara. I think you're right.
And then they have the women play tonight. Is that right? The women basketball team are in Chicago.
Say, what day is today?
Today's Tuesday.
Tuesday. San Jose State.
San Jose State. That's okay. That's how it is. Yeah, San Jose State. Somebody like that. That's they're not very good. And then they play New Mexico State on Sunday, my alma mater. I don't say that very often because I just don't say it very often. But that should be a pretty good game. New Mexico State is coached by a very good coach. He has a little kind of strange background, but I'll get to that more later in the week. In fact, I don't think I'm going to have my show on Thursday live. I'm going to have Arizona plays Thursday night. They play it at 6, which is a weird start time. So I'll be at the game and I won't be here. But glad to have you. How much time do we have? We have time, don't we?
Minutes or so.
Four. Okay. I thought
you stretch your legs.
Six. I saw four. You gave me a sign of a couple minutes. I'm thinking, where did the time fly?
It goes quick.
It does go quickly. That's the one thing I've always learned on this thing. It's just, you know, especially when I have guests. So, you know, in my show, Tom, I'll have a lot of guests so people don't have to listen to me. but now that you're here, we'll talk a lot of gibberish, sports gibberish.
We can talk food gibberish too. I'm good with that.
Oh, food. Okay, cool. I'll probably gain some weight just talking about it.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you, who's your favorite player? Don't give me a hockey guy because that doesn't count.
Okay.
For me.
So are we? So let's pick because I'm a Buffalo Bills fan too. So you want to talk NFL? Hey,
yeah.
Are we talking all time?
Go. Yeah.
All time. My favorite player. Let's see. Geez. You know what? I love Steve Tasker.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, people don't know who he is, but he was a heck of a tough dude.
Yeah, big-time special teamer, Hall of Fame guy.
Receiver, right? Receiver as well.
He played receiver as well. Mm-hmm. And Buffalo's such a blue-collar, hard-working kind of town, and we embrace those players, and that's a guy that I remember just watching on those four Super Bowl teams and absolutely loving to death was Steve Tasker.
Mm-hmm. Where did Glenn Parker fall in that mix up in Buffalo?
You know what? A lot of people in Buffalo, myself included, loved Glenn Parker. And you'll still see Parker jerseys around the stadium and on a Bills game Sunday. And, you know, I know he's a big fixture here in the community. People absolutely loved him. And he's another guy who embodied, I think, that blue-collar mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he was a favorite when he played here. Then when he went up there and John Fina joined him later, they were... How was that? I know we don't have much time, but four Super Bowls, and you were a young kid at the time, probably?
That was all 4 years of high school for me.
Right. So it was like Buffalo shut down?
It did. It really did. And, you know, the funny thing was, is we as a city never gave up. We just kept plugging, even though we didn't win. I mean,
yeah.
Still proud of that. Still proud of it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like here after a Sweet 16 or Elite 8 loss, Tucson just turns into a mush.
Yeah. And I can understand that. I mean, you love your team.
Yeah, no question. Well, thanks for day one, Tom. I'll continue to make your life miserable unless we get together here.
All right. It was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
It'll be the Steve Rivera hostage situation, like I tell Ray. I see you tomorrow?
No.
No.
Next
Tom,
week.
I get Tom 2 or Tom 1, two. However you want to describe it. Thanks for joining me. Thanks, everybody, for coming on the show. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.